Power Project Family, how's it going? Now on this podcast, we've talked to so many professionals, coaches, doctors, about the importance of getting your blood work done. I've gotten it done, Mark's gotten it done, Andrew's gotten it done. We know what's going on under the hood, and we know that we are healthy and heading in the right direction. But we know some people who have gotten their blood work done, and they have been healthy, and they've had to get treatment for certain things, and they're glad that they did. And that's why we've partnered with Merrick Health, owned by Derek from More Plates, More Dates. Now, Merrick Health is the premium TRT clinic that no matter what you get done, no matter what tests you get done, Merrick Health gives you plans for you. They don't give you cookie cutter plans like a lot of other telehealth clinics do, where you'll give your blood work and they'll just give you what they give to everybody. They give you specific plans for you, your specific levels, and that is extremely important. Andrew, can you tell the people more about it?
Yes, you guys got to head over to MerrickHealth.com. That's M-A-R-E-K Health.com. And whether you're interested in HRT or you just want to get some labs done, use promo code POWERPROJECT10 to save 10% off all your labs. Again, MerrickHealth.com. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
Mike's an athlete, man. He's an athlete.
But his son is in jiu-jitsu, I just
athlete.
Saw.
Dude. The fuck, man? That kid's going to be a bruiser.
He will be.
Bart's kid does some jiu-jitsu too, right?
Yeah, I think Bart also signed his kid up.
Sick. Yeah.
Do you have that video? I haven't even seen
No.
it. Let's just jump into talking about just bullshit and like worlds and just like what's going on. Let's dive into that. Whoa.
Good catch. All right, we are rolling.
Oh my God. So you've been doing some cold plunging?
Yeah. So it's actually really fucking awesome. After I saw the episode with Huberman, there's this place I go to in Sacramento called Asha Urban Baths. And I've been using their sauna, but they also have a cold plunge in there. And it's really cool because I think one of the big things it helps with is like breathing, helping you to be able to be more resilient. Wim Hof has talked about it helping with the immune system. And one thing I notice is like cold showers are cool because like they get you ready for the morning. But I've noticed that as I've cold plunged more and as I've gotten used to it, I just seem to be a bit more calm. Mm. There, it does have performance effects, but I just seem to be able to just be in just general more resilient. My breath control is better. So it's pretty dope. So I
love how you're talking as you're making this super elaborate protein coffee thing or something. What is this?
It's the Fairlife.
You don't understand how like strange and seem it is until you start to hang out with them every day.
It's the Fairlife salted caramel mixed with some Fairlife chocolate. And I have some coffee down there. And then, it tastes fucking amazing, man.
So good.
It tastes so good.
You have salted caramel?
I'll give you some. I have some in my trunk. So I'll give you, if you mix them, it's a 60 gram protein bomb, man.
Oh my gosh.
And it just goes down the hatch super easily.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. So the cold plunge, you think it's helping you to be just maybe a little bit calmer in life in general? I mean, you're already pretty calm, but.
Yeah. No. I think it just helps me be a little bit more calm and a little bit more resilient. And it also has its immune system benefits, which I dig that a lot. But try taking a cold shower each morning. Just try that. You don't have a cold plunge at home. Take a cold shower each morning and get yourself used to that. You'll notice some just differences throughout your day. I'll say that. You gotta try it first. And then Andrew Huberman did a whole episode on cold therapy and cold plunging and all that.
How cold is the thingy?
This morning it was 40 degrees, but it can go down to 36. So yesterday morning, I just got it this past weekend. I just finished setting it up.
You have it at your house?
Yeah. It's in my backyard. Okay. So
is that from the place in Sacramento?
Yeah. It's the cold plunge people are based in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So they're really dope. So it came out this weekend. But I finished setting it up. I think it can be like up to, they have a one that's a hot and cold, but mine's just cold. So it can be 60 degrees or you can take it all the way down to 36 degrees. So yesterday morning I did 44 degrees. This morning I did 40 degrees and tomorrow I'm just going to take it to its lowest because it doesn't like it.
Otherwise it'd be frozen, right?
Yeah. But 36 degrees and it's nice. Sitting there for 5 minutes in the morning.
There's some stupid weird stuff that I mess around with just from having different people on the show and just from like, I don't know, studying like philosophy and kind of like thinking about how things are a choice and things of that nature. And, you know, it's been cold, it's been windy, it's been kind of rainy. And when I go in my hot tub, it's like really cold outside. I got to walk out to the hot tub and it's windy and rainy at the same time. And plus the temperature is low. I used to go out and I used to be like, I used to kind of anticipate, okay, it's going to be cold. And because I already thought that in my head, I was already like up in my own head and I would shiver. Mm-hmm. I'd go out there and I would just, now I'm just like, just go outside and see if you have the ability to practice not shivering.
Yeah.
I'll go out and sometimes it's pretty cold and I got to just like breathe out a bunch and calm my breathing down. But I found that I don't have to shiver. It's amazing at all the different things that you can control. Mm-hmm. You brought up Wim Hof and I haven't really dove into like messing around with a lot of his stuff, but I'd imagine that almost naturally you would probably want to breathe pretty rapidly, like you're hyperventilating almost getting into that cold water. Is that something that you're doing or are you just trying to be like super calm with your breath?
Yeah. So Wim Hof has his own breathing, like his whole Wim Hof breathing thing. And he actually says, do not do this in water because it causes some people to get lightheaded and some people have fainted. So
if you faint in water, not a good idea.
Oh yeah. There have been some people, that's why he warns people, do not do the Wim Hof hyperventilating hold breath holds or whatever in water.
In cold water.
If you
water,
pass out, yeah, you're dead. And that's happened to people, which is why you shouldn't do that specific breathing in there. But the initial feeling when you get into a cold plunge is like people, that's what they want to do. But what you want to do is you want to calm your breathing down because you notice once you calm your breathing on down and what was his name? Mike, who?
Mutzel?
Not Mike Mutzel. The guy that we had on that he, pull up record.
Oh yeah, also, Mike Castle.
He also talked about this where if you're able to calm your breathing down, your heart rate, like I have my Apple Watch on and it's interesting how once I sit in the cold plunge, my heart rate goes from like 67 to 90, 100. Then once I start just slowing down my breathing, it'll come down to 65, 60, 55, 50, and it'll just stay there if I control my breathing. But if I lose control or if I start to like feel it and get too cold, then the heart rate starts to skyrocket back up. So you also get the ability to better control your heart rate, your breath, calm down. And you notice that it just is easy if you're able to stay calm.
And you're getting a little bit of feedback from your watch, but we've heard Andrew Huberman talk about this a lot, where there's a lot of science and research to back up particular types of breathing for particular conditions. He's a big fan of kind of the double breathing in the kind of
physiological
sigh. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And then followed by a good sigh. In his research and a lot, or not his research, in research that he's studied, I believe, there was a lot of evidence showing that it can help calm you down, help kind of bring that heart rate down. And it's like, well, shit, like if that to me is something that's like, that's too easy not to do. Mm-hmm. It's too easy not to pick up that habit. Like the habit sounds great. You just got some really bad news that your Bitcoin isn't worth what it used to be or whatever the thing is. Go ahead and try the double sigh. It's not going to fix the actual thing that threw you off, but it will help to alleviate some pressure, help alleviate some stress. I did not know that Wim Hof talks about not doing that breathing in the water because sometimes in my hot tub, I've been practicing kind of trying to change my oxygen to CO2 ratio in the hot tub just to see how long I can hold my breath.
Be careful, my friend. We want you here for a very long time.
So it's probably good that I've only tried like small doses of it because I think he wants you to do it for like X amount of minutes. Yeah, you know?
Do multiple sets of it. And at the last one, you're apparently able to hold your breath for like 2 or 3 minutes. You're just able to hold.
Yeah. So like in just doing like, I don't know, maybe 20 breaths in and out, I'm not doing the hyperventilating. I'm actually, what I'm doing is I'm just breathing in excessively. That tastes gross.
God dang, this is bad. This is bad. Ugh, okay.
You've been closer though. Since we got the new show, you've been a little closer. So maybe when we get the newer show, maybe you'll start to make some
money.
But so anyway, I've been breathing in and breathing out and changing that, like probably my percentage of CO2 to oxygen or something. And I'm able to hold my breath probably for 3 or 4 times longer just going under the water than I used to be able to. So
have you ever tried
one? Interesting stuff.
I did it enough because I tried the cold shower thing and I didn't really like that. But then I was mentioned on the podcast before, it's it's totally coincidental, but I did the cold therapy thing in the shower, or I just turned it cold. I got my like the worst cold ever shortly after that. So I was already going to be sick. Like there's no way like around a, there's no way to avoid that. But like getting that cold that fast, I think just like, yeah, let's go. And that dude, I got so sick. But doing the breathing thing, I remember like my pinkies were getting numb. So I'm like, I probably shouldn't do this anymore. And it felt really weird. So I haven't done it since then.
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting practice. I've done, I have the app. I haven't done it in a while, but I've done it a few times. And after you finish the Wim Hof breathing, like if you follow the way he does it, like you feel like you have this head high and you're just like, let's fucking go. Like you feel it. Like it's like a shot of caffeine. It really is. And it only takes like 7 or 8 minutes a day. Y'all should try that. Download Wim Hof's app. Give it a shot because it's pretty fun. Just don't do it in water, please. Just don't do it in water.
I didn't even know there was an app.
The cold therapy type stuff. I mean, just I have a sauna, so I go from my sauna to the shower. And it's pretty easy to do the cold therapy from there because you got really, really hot.
Yeah.
And so it's not nearly as difficult, but I still found some utility in just exposing myself to the cold. I also have like a double shower head. I have like a detachable shower head, and I've actually just kind of messed with that in a way where I'm just using like almost like localized cold rather than like getting crushed by like a ton of cold water. But I found the shower to be fairly easy to adapt to.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to say easy, but like it doesn't take long. Just be a real pussy about it at first. Like honestly, like don't be like, oh, I got to make it all the way cold, and don't get too crazy with it right away. But just
you can start at warm,
yeah,
and then go to cold, and then go back to warm.
70 degrees might feel cold when normally the temperature is 100 or 110 or whatever the normal shower temperature is, and then plus in a shower, like the water's only hitting like a certain part. So I found that like my back and my sides isn't as bad. Now, if I turn to the front and it gets, like on your chest and nippies and your weenus, then it starts to get, it's a little harder to deal with. But what you'll find is that if you practice breathing and you try to calm yourself down, you'll be super stoic and just standing there in the fucking cold ass water, like without sweating it.
Yeah. One thing I will say, and this doesn't go to cold showers. This isn't like a cold shower isn't the problem here. But if you do ever do a cold plunge, don't do a cold plunge right after you do resistance training because temperatures that cold, it will blunt the inflammation that happens post training, and you want that inflammation. Like you want that to happen. That's why I do it in the mornings, because the mornings is like, okay, this is the start of the day, but I wouldn't lift here, then go home and cold plunge because it kind of negates what I'm trying to get from my lifting session, So just keep that in mind if you guys ever do want to fuck with cold plunges.
The hot and cold seems to help a lot with recovery. Like if you're all tight and like you just worked yourself pretty good on a workout, I'm not saying to immediately do it after the workout, but just having that in your regimen will help you repair and recoup. Sometimes you'll feel like brand new. You'll feel like a new person. You're like, what the, I don't even feel the effects of my training.
This happened yesterday because yesterday I was feeling something weird in my lower back on the right side. And everything I was doing wasn't working. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to hop in the cold plunge and see if this does anything. Hopped in it, got out 5 minutes later. And I was moving around after I shouted, and like, I don't feel it anymore. Shit wasn't placebo either. So I was just like, damn, it really does be doing some work. Like temperature does.
How does it compare to cryotherapy?
You see, I've done cryotherapy a few times, and I honestly, I don't know how it compares to cryotherapy. I know that there are people who've made videos, but I know that whenever I've done cryotherapy, I didn't really feel shit. Like I really didn't feel anything afterwards as like, oh, wow, this feels really good. But whenever I've gone into just really cold water, that's made a difference.
Yeah, I've done a pretty good amount of cryotherapy, and I never really thought it was like great. I never thought it was awesome. They do some localized treatment, and they have this, machine, this portable machine, and they can like, so if your knee is bothering you or something, they can go right on the knee or the elbow or whatever joint is bothering you. And that seemed to feel pretty good, but it didn't seem to really do a whole lot. The hot and cold contrast stuff, it just seems, again, it just seems like one of those concepts and ideas that is easy enough. It doesn't have to cost you anything because you can just, I think most of us have a shower. Mm-hmm. And you can just change it from hot to cold. But don't get caught up in like trying to figure out the exact degrees and like just start and just do it. And like I said, sometimes 70 degrees might be cold for you just because you're not, you haven't really done that before. Yeah. And get used to it. And for me, that's been something that's helped me recover from my workouts tremendously. Yesterday, probably the first time, I can't even think of any other time I've done this in my life, but I ran for about 45 minutes.
Oh, shit.
I just went and I ran.
Straight?
Yeah, just straight.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, pretty cool. And just on a flat surface. But I was running, and I was like, I want to do some 200s and some 400s today. Because previously, I was mainly doing like 800s. And I got like 50%. I got like 100 yards and my calf, you know, went a little bit and I was like, I don't know what that is. And with running, what I found the big difference with running versus lifting is like with lifting, you always have to be careful, obviously, but there's so many different exercises you can do. Mm-hmm. Running is kind of running and there are different, you can run hills and you can run sprints and there's obviously different intensities to it. But running is kind of running and you keep bouncing back and forth on from one foot to the other and the calves and the hamstrings and everything's getting worked pretty rigorously no matter what you're doing. And so I was like, all right, well, fuck it. I'm just going to see how long I can run for. I just kept going and going and going and going. And Ryan was on his one wheel again, following me around.
Ryan Sober is the fucking, just he's fucking greatest.
He's,
man,
such a savage.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I ran for 40 minutes and today, I mean, when I woke up this morning, I was a little fatigued, but I feel great. I'm going to do some weighted carries today and go fuck some shit up again today.
So are we all just slowly becoming CrossFitters? It's so funny how like years ago, and some people in the audience are going to flame us, but years ago, everyone was like, look at these CrossFitters with their curving pull-ups. And now bodybuilders and powerlifters are like, I want to run. I want to move my body. Yeah. Like, it's great.
Well, I started with CrossFit.
Yeah,
and, you know, I mean, I'm a little banged up now, but yeah, if I could get into the habit of doing muscle ups and getting just into these, like, I'll just say like proper positions to do some of this, these CrossFit workouts, I'll be so happy. Like, yo, yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Peeps, do not, I don't know why people still are out here fucking flaming CrossFitters, because they are some of the fittest fucking athletes. I remember when Real World Tactical came to the gym and it was, Alan Thrall, myself and Iron Mild Ben. And Iron Mild Ben was breezing through the whole fucking workout, just fucking carrying a stone, doing all these movements. Alan Thrall was like, he was suffering as I was suffering, but I think I was suffering a little bit more than Alan was. But Iron Mile Ben.
Do you know if this was on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, record it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super Training 06 channel.
Uh-huh. But Ben was the lightest out of all of us. I think he was maybe 170 pounds, but he was smoking all of us because of his fitness level.
Let's not be too rude to Ben. I think he's like 180, 190.
My bad. I didn't mean to do that. Ben is jacked.
That's okay? Like when someone's short and you're like, oh, you're only 5'2", and they're like 5'7". You're like, oh, sorry, bro.
Well, wouldn't that be worse on me? Like if this guy's 170 and smoking me rather than being...
You killed him.
Yeah, I was like 260. Ben. Yeah. Ben's jacked, though. Like he's big and
he
jacked.
He is.
Yeah.
He's fucking yoked.
And he's also super fit. He can run. He can lift.
I gave my boy Andrew some homework to do recently. Mm-hmm. I told him to get his ass on the Aerodyne bike?
Assault bike.
Assault bike. There we go.
Nice.
The assault bike. And I've been doing three minute intervals with about 3 minutes rest. So you go hard for 3 minutes. It's like you're trying to sprint, but let's face it, you can't really sprint for 3 minutes. So you're just trying to hang in there for 3 minutes. And it's nice. It's like a good challenge. And I just started incorporating more recently and kind of see what it does, but sometimes I like stuff that just makes you feel like you had a kick-ass workout, even though it's short and sweet, and even though it's not completely like this devastating thing. Years ago, when I was younger, I loved only things that were just completely devastating, like just go in there and just total destruction.
Yeah.
Just annihilate yourself and worry about the rest of it later on. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, that's not it's not even an effective training methodology. So it can be, and it can work for a period of time, but it can also lead to a lot of injury and just a lot of regression rather than progress.
I'm happy that I've started training. Like, I've been training with you guys in Super Training since 2015, but I'm happy that I was here as the transition in your training was made to be more sustainable, because I've kind of followed suit in that sense. Like, I used to kill myself a bit in the past, but now I'm like, I like to feel good, but also get effective training, because now I'm still making progress. My body isn't as banged up as it used to be. And I know that, wow, I'm 29 and still making this kind of progress. Shit doesn't really need to slow down. Like, people always say the in your 30s thing, mm-hmm. but no, I can keep this progress going. I can keep this sustainable training going, continue getting stronger, continue getting more mobile, et cetera. And I can still be feeling amazing at 38 just as much as I am at 29. I truly do think that. In jiu-jitsu, it's like they have the master's class that you can compete in when you're 30. Mm. You can start competing in master's one. I don't want to compete in masters, and I don't want to compete in masters until I'm in my late 30s. And I truly think that I can keep a young 20 fitness level. I think I can deep into my 30s and still try to fuck up young guys.
You might be able to push it all the way until you're about 50.
Maybe, to be honest honestly, with you. You're right.
The actual weights on the bar, and there might be a couple things that might be slightly different. But I actually would think that it's more. It would have more to do with your overall goals than it would be with you versus you trying. I was thinking about this more recently. I've been doing a little bit of deadlifting the last couple of weeks, and I just went from, like, I can't even remember what the weight was that was on there. It wasn't a lot. It was like 365-ish or so. Mm-hmm. I went from 365-ish to like 415. And the difference between – it was funny because 365 was like, oh, I felt pretty good. 415 felt like a ton of bricks, and I was like, okay, fuck. But it's been a long time since I picked anything up. It's also been a long time since I've addressed really doing like rigorous stuff that's either intense or has a volume to it for my mm-hmm. lower back. I've been training my lower back. I've been doing stuff for it, but there hasn't been, it's not like I've been swinging a kettlebell a bunch. And then it hit me. I was thinking about what Joe Rogan said. He went to work out with a bunch of his buddies that love barbell exercises. Mm. Like, I don't even mess with barbell exercises. He talked about this when More Plates, More Dates was on there. And he talked about bench pressing and deadlifting. He's like, I smoked all those guys on deadlifts and bench. He said he benched 225 for like 14 reps. He's like, I realize I'm not setting any sort of records, but he's like, I don't bench press.
And all he does is kettlebells.
And I think he's mm-hmm. had a lot of shoulder injuries in the past. And yes, all he does is kettlebells. And so you might think to yourself, how does a 60 or 40 pound kettlebell, like, I don't know the different weights that he uses, how does that transfer over into these other exercises? Well, if you're doing, 10 reps and you're doing, kettlebell presses for 10 reps on one side and then doing it for, on the other side, it takes your whole body, a lot of tricep work, a lot of shoulder work, a ton of core work. That core work is going to transfer over into any lower body exercise that you do. And then what about kettlebell swings? I mean, it's funny because when you deadlift, it would be really rare for you to do 60 to 100 repetitions of deadlift in a workout. Like, that would be, you've got to be a masochist. I don't even really know anybody that does that shit. Not since like George Lehman do I. Like, George Lehman used to do like 10 rep sets of deadlifts, but I haven't seen anybody in a long ass time mm-hmm. mess with that. But it's very common when you do a kettlebell swing to do a set of 10 or 20 is very normal. And for you to also be doing it in conjunction with something else that's challenging your core and your whole system. I mean, even if you're just doing planks or something like that in between, now you're having an amazing workout. It's not only working your back and your hamstrings and your hips, it's also testing like your mobility, but your core is getting just completely thrashed. So it makes sense when you switch over into like a deadlift that when you go to pick those weights up, it's not going to feel heavy. Plus your grip is getting worked out tremendously too.
Yeah, no, kettlebells are deceivingly. Oh, this is the video. Yeah. Oh, bro. You know, I was so fucking angry at Real World Tactical after this workout. I was so mad. Y'all see me fucking.
And see me, you don't make any sense, dude.
I was crazy. 265. Yeah, I was like 267 there.
It's just crazy how, like, you can be shown just about anything physically, and you can mimic it. Like the thing you did with your shoulder the other day after seeing Torensky or
how do you say it? Yeah. I don't know if you say it that way, but it's Torokti, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Torokti.
The, I think it was gold medalist in Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah.
Unbelievable weightlifter. We actually had him here at Super Training one time. He came in with his coaches. It was like probably 6 years ago.
He needs to come back.
And people went fucking crazy. He had 25-pound plates on each side.
Yeah.
And he just got down, because I asked if he could do anything, and his coach was like, he's really happy to be here, but he can't really, you know. He's messing around, like, tricep pushdowns and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's having fun. I was like, can he maybe show us, like, what it looks like when he lifts or something, even just with the bar or something like that?
Yeah.
I said, I don't even think I've ever even met a gold medalist before. So I'm like, I'm super hyped.
Uh-huh.
And if I can just see him in person, like do anything, I'd be fucking thrilled, you know?
Yeah.
So he gets down in a squat position. He's got 95 pounds on the bar.
Uh-huh.
And he stays in a squat position. He's just pressing it out from his back. And he does it over and over again. And it wasn't a strength thing. It wasn't anything where you're like, oh my God, that's so much weight. But I've never seen another human being move like that before in my entire life.
So he was legit in a squat, and then he just went like this while he was down in the squat.
How do you spell his name?
Torokti.
That also might be on our YouTube channel, but it was just like...
One more time.
Torokti.
Gosh, okay.
Dude, that dude's built different. He's built fucking different than everybody else in the entire fucking world.
Really?
He looks like an NFL running back.
He does?
He has these fucking giant hamstrings and shit. It's wild. Yeah. It's not like this crazy, like, shredded bodybuilder.
How tall is he, too?
He's probably somewhere between you and I, height-wise. Okay. He's not like super tall, but I can't imagine that he's more than like 6'1 or something like that, you know?
Man, we have Milanichev here, so like we also have a translator. Like, Torokti, come to Super Training. Come to the podcast, bro. Dude,
do you guys has this been swirling around? Do you guys know about what Andre said recently about boxing?
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
Is he trying to get into boxing? I don't know. What did he say?
He wants to box Hapthor Bjornsson, the Mountain.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what? I'd be scared for Hapthor.
And then we were trying to
go
back and forth in translation. I'm like, Hapthor's not a professional, but he's been putting like the last 2 years. He's been like, he lost 100 pounds, and
Andre's also a real Russian. Like, he's not American Russian, bro.
They don't really.
Andre, they don't fall.
They don't, and they don't play around.
Holy.
I would be scared for Hathor in that situation, man.
I was so like shocked, but like, I mean, Andre is the most respectful and one of the kindest people I've ever met, even just in through translation. I mean, he's always happy, always has a big smile on his face. So he's not trying to talk shit.
Nah.
I just think he thinks it would be a great challenge.
What the fuck? I don't know what to think right now.
I'd put it past a sparring partner. I'd get my ass beat just to see him beat Hathor.
Well, and so I got to see him throw some punches and stuff. He definitely knows what he's doing, but there's, you know, getting in the ring and boxing somebody is really, really difficult.
Okay, I have a question for you. Let's say that Andre gets himself into boxing shape, as we know he can. This guy's probably been scrapping since he was a kid, right? And Thor's in shape. Who you think has it?
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Because Hathor has that fucking...
Yeah.
He has that reach.
So I would have to give the nod to Hapthor just because it looks like he's putting in the time, you know? So I don't want to doubt anything Andre can do physically. It's the same thing with you. Like, if someone was to tell me, hey, Nsima says he's going to squat 800, I'd be like, okay, cool, when? You know, he's I know it's going to happen, but like, when? You know, if you put a time crunch on it, then I might be like,
oh, fuck no.
He might not be able to do it. But if it's like he wants to do it in the next 3-4 years, I'd be like, hey, if he decides that he wants to go that way and be a big boy and maybe put on a little fluff, 800-pound squat might be in the cards.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But yeah, Andre is just, again, you know, when you watch some people move, it's astonishing when you watch, like, Andre's in here teaching some young people how to lift, mm-hmm. and he's like showing people how to set up for squats and bench. And he just gave me a tip the other day when I was squatting. He just kept kind of pointing to my chest, and I was like, okay, yeah, that, I'm super lazy with my chest. It's always down when I'm lifting. And so I just kind of just simple, like everyone knows to try to keep your chest up when you're squatting. Mm-hmm. And it went from feeling like a ton of bricks to feeling super easy. And mm-hmm. he was just, you should have seen his face. He was so happy.
Yeah.
He's like, this is right. This is right.
Fucking he's an amazing, I'm so happy that we have him, that mm-hmm. he's here in the gym. I'm so fucking happy mm-hmm. because he's such an amazing individual. He's so fucking nice, but he's also just a savage lifter. He's just a trifecta of goodness.
Have you had him rub you? Oh, you've gotten like a little bit of, but I had like an actual treatment from him and he's fucking amazing. God. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was so happy. He's like coated me in olive oil.
Wait, literal olive oil? He didn't use himself. Is that a thing? Or did you guys only have olive oil on deck?
That we only have olive oil, but I guess it is a thing. Somebody else was like, actually olive oil works really, really well. I was like, okay.
My God.
Put a little seasoning on top of you as well.
He should make that a business, man. Like Russian bear massage or something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not even trying. Like, that would be a great name for a massage. But Russian, I mean, with his hands, like, y'all don't understand. If you guys haven't, like, seen Andre.
Those are some big-ass fucking hands.
His hands are quite literally animal paws.
Yeah.
They're so, not just long, they're also thick.
Big old pads.
And his hand from across is super wide.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what his body weight is right now?
I don't know. I would say he has got to be 270 or 280.
I was thinking like 270, 265, 270. Yeah.
And then Half Thor is fighting at
370 probably.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Isn't Half Thor like 6'7"?
Half Thor is like 6'10".
Yeah, he's a fucking.
He's 6'10"?
Mm. No way.
Are you sure?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's embarrassing how big that guy is.
Holy shit, I didn't know he was that big.
He is a fucking Whoa. Savage. I mean, maybe officially, maybe he's like slightly lower than that, but mm-hmm. like that's about what he says he is, about 6'10".
Really tall people make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
No, it's just, I'm not used to.
No, the whole thing's embarrassing. You know, you're like, just get the fuck away from me. It just really is. You're like, I'm sitting over here trying to be just as human as you are. And here I am all fucking short and shit.
Looking like a toddler.
I've never met Half Thor in person, but I remember Brian Shaw. Mm-hmm. We took a picture together and he just made me look like a child. Like he did that on purpose too. Mm-hmm. But he like came up, went over my shoulder, brought me in close. And he's just like, here, like, I'm like, hi, dad.
Yeah, that's
that, he fucking like, yeah. fathered me, which made me so insecure. I'm like, am I even a man? Because this is a man. I'm just a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, why would a woman even pursue me?
this is more, the alpha.
Yeah, yeah, pursue more guys like this, right?
I'm the beta here.
Like, there's got to be more of them, right? Like, there's no way I have a chance if there's two.
Oh, God. He just sprinkled a little bit more when he was making Half-Thor and Shaw.
It's tough because, like, that's like, you know, we spend so much time on, like, you know, trying to get, like, bigger. And what's his name? Nathan Jones, the guy that gets killed by Brad Pitt in Troy. Nathan Jones is like 6'10 or 6'11. He was a world's strongest man competitor. Looks a lot like Thor. Always in great shape. And
oh, this guy.
Yeah, lean and yoked. Yeah, pull up a picture of that motherfucker. Yeah. I don't
know what he looks Holy like. Holy fuck.
I was in professional wrestling with Nathan Jones, and he used to call me Little Buddy. Yeah, he used to call.
That's a dick move. Hey, Little Buddy.
Like, look at this fuck, guy, though. Man. Is that a video game?
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, can you call me something else?
Yeah.
I was like, Little Buddy. I'm like, I work out every day. Fucking cut me some slack.
I'm a man, too.
Yeah.
Open link. Where's the open image?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay.
That's so wrong, but it's funny. It's funny.
Another cool thing about Nathan was that he, oh, Jesus, that looks fucking terrifying right there.
Yeah.
So Troy was shot in Mexico, and he was so excited because he's like, I'm going to be on so much shit. It's going to be amazing. He was able just to get whatever he wanted and just fucking load up and be big.
Oh, that was, you know what? The first time I went to Mexico on a cruise, they let you out of the ship so that you
can go. Steroid, they're trying to sell them to you.
Yeah. I was passing by this little pharmacia booth and be like, steroids.
They called you out. Yeah.
Excuse me. I don't want any of that. No.
You're like, why would I want that?
I don't want any of that, but I'm going to leave my bag right here.
Mm-hmm. And here's a $20 crisp American bill.
Pet Project Family, how's it going? You guys know who Stan the Rhino Efforting is. We've had him on this podcast 3, 4, 5 different times. Well, we've partnered with Stan and Vertical Meals. It's going to be awesome because now you guys can have Stan Efforting's cooking and his nutrition sent right to you, right to your door. Andrew, can you tell the people how to get in and save?
Absolutely. You guys got to head over to verticaldiet.com at checkout. Enter promo code POWERPROJECT for free shipping. And if you order 16 meals or more, you're going to get 2 additional ones. Again, that's at verticaldiet.com, promo code POWERPROJECT. Links to them down in the description, as well as the podcast show notes. Let's get back to this podcast.
That's funny. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I still get, I put it on Twitter. Like I still get emails about people trying to sell me SARMs or if I need any suppliers or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like SARMageddon was like over 2 years ago now. And the emails still come in like probably like 3-4 a week.
Yeah.
What's your email address?
I know, right? It's not hard to find, but yeah, it's wild.
Oh my gosh.
What are you looking at?
Hapthor and Mark. Is this in Bodega or is this LA?
Oh, that's Malibu.
Malibu.
Yeah.
God, Hapthor's such a man, bro. Like,
I'll send it over to you, Andrew.
You know, if I had a wife and Hapthor just like
wait
walked
a second,
into
where
the
are we
room,
going?
You know, I'd be like, she's yours.
Yeah.
Have your way. Mm-hmm. You deserve this. I'll sit here and watch.
And I'll raise the kids.
I'll raise the kids because you don't have to. Just cuck me, bro.
Rogan's talked about Hapthor before too. They're always talking about his dick. They're like, what? Yeah. Because he's got like a tiny wife. They're like, how does this work? How's the math work out with this?
Okay. You know what? Nah. We're straight up on this podcast. No. Hapthor's He's probably packing some.
He's got to be. I mean, just proportionally, if any of the math adds up, right?
Yeah, man. Like,
he's not going to have a small shoe size.
No, that's true. That's true.
Because he just can't.
Yeah.
He's not going to have it. Sometimes in porn, it's like sometimes like some weird ass dude.
You brought us here.
Who's got some giant hands.
Yeah, nah. Nah, I've seen quite, like, it's interesting.
And Seema's researched this quite a bit, and he found out that the women have really small hands, so guys, go ahead and feel good about yourselves, or feel okay about yourself. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
These women have abnormally small hands.
For all you losers still watching porn, like, like, real talk, I mean, if you're watching and you're like, damn, their dicks are so big, just realize the women are really tiny, and their hands are small, which is why it looks like they're handling a massive hog.
I just tell my wife all the time, like, it's a video, you know, it's a movie, you know, it's like special effects. Like, people aren't really walking around with dicks like that. Yeah. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah. But I do like that because now it's like, okay, like, you know, people always like, oh, this guy's on stuff. And, you know, because like bodybuilders, right, they get smaller, they get leaner, and their muscles look bigger.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess, the same thing with these dudes' dicks.
Mm-hmm. Hey, a guest that we have coming on the podcast, which you guys are going to love this one. Susan, I don't know if we've talked about it.
We've talked a little bit.
Tiny bit, yeah.
Man, I've been working that penis pump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, you've been put it into use. How do you like
every,
it?
Every other day, because it's literally like it's supposed to be like a workout regimen. Mm-hmm. Like you're sitting there with your...
You got your nuts in there.
Well, you can.
Or have you not done
there's
that?
There's two. There's the one that you can put your dick and your nuts in it, but there's also the one that...
The full package, we'll call it.
Yeah, there's also the one that if you just get yourself hard, then you just sit there and you pump away. Mm. And I've been not like... First thing is, it is crazy because the pump literally pumps more blood into your dick. So you're sitting there and you're like, wow, it can actually be this big because it's like, it's pumping extra blood and your penis expands, but it expands even more. And you're just like, wow, I have this ability. This is here the
like
whole time.
Like, you're like, I got to show somebody this.
Like, I got to just snap this picture.
Fucking unbelievable.
I think Andrew said that the other day. Like,
like, hold on, wait a second. Let me unhook this shit, send a picture. Cool, put it back. All right, good.
But it is supposed to help with like the, it is supposed to like make the veins within your dick a little bit more able to handle more blood flow.
Right.
And it helps the health. Like this is quite literally helping our prostate or our dick health.
Yeah. And so, it was something about like some kind of like atrophied muscles or muscle tissue or something in there that this will help or some shit like that.
Yeah, dude. This is wild stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's use it or lose it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like for some people end up with dysfunction for all kinds of different reasons. Sometimes it could be mental. Sometimes it could be heart related. Sometimes it could be, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons on why it can happen, but this will help get, I mean, this literally, I mean, I think that people think that penis pumps, they just think they're a joke and they don't think they do anything, but they can be useful. They can help get some blood flow to the area.
Didn't Leo give you a whole thing on like how, what you, like yeah, the benefits? Yeah,
he knows fucking everything about them. So yeah. He's got like a training protocol.
And if, did you didn't open it yet? Okay.
I still haven't opened it yet.
Yo, in this, it's from Joel Kaplan. You can bring up the brand, just if any of our, because it works.
It's his.
Yeah, yeah.
Any dangers? Like, have you, like, over-pumped or like?
Oh, you can definitely get yourself in some trouble.
You can, but, like, the manual says, like, do not go over 10. There's like, the thing, right? It goes all the way up to 30. You're not even supposed to touch 10. Yeah. And for your first few, to get your dick used to it, it's like you start a little
bit
lower.
Does it have a battery or something in it?
No, dude.
It's got a pump. Like,
Yeah. It's
a hand pump.
It's a hand pump, bro.
This one's electric, though, I think.
Whoa.
I think that, electric pump. So you can set it and forget it.
Mm.
This is the ones that we have right here, though.
That's the one that we have, yeah. But we got a few extra things in there, too. Thank you, Susan, by the way. I don't think you're listening to this episode. We can't wait to talk to you. But thank you for sending all of us.
We're going to bring some more peeps on this show to talk about sex type stuff and sexual performance. Because I've actually had a lot of friends hit me up, like, kind of independently. And they're like, bro, like, I got some serious issues going on, and I'm really happy that you guys are talking about it all the way from, you know, erectile dysfunction all the way to like people being like really addicted to porn. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like, we're guys, so we like joke about everything, but like a lot of the stuff is like really serious. If you have like your connection to being a man is kind of your man parts. And if your man parts ain't working, it will set your whole body off in a way that doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. And so we need more people to talk about it. We need more people to be able to help people get out of these predicaments. A huge percentage of the United States is pre-diabetic.
Yeah.
And diabetes and the blood flow to that area, they kind of go hand in hand. And that's a big reason why, you know, so blood pressure and diabetes, like these kinds of things, they wreak havoc on your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's so many young people getting into, we talk about TRT and just steroids and performance enhancement all the time, but it's like, you want to trade that performance enhancement of just having a little bit more muscle mass for potential dangers later on? Because it's like, I don't really think there's like a lot of information right now on like what's your body like if you're on steroids for 30 years, 40 years, 50, like we don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you start flirting with this stuff when you're 20, I started when I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you straight up, like, you know, you got to just be, I don't regret anything that I did. It's just, it's part of my story. It's part of who I am and what I've done and shit like that. And so I'm all good with it. But, you know, the more information you have going in, the better.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Which is great. It's great that we have counts like, you know, Derek, who's talking about a lot of this stuff and talking about, because he doesn't only go into all the benefits, but he does go into the dangers. But, you know, I have a video that's coming out kind of about this topic. And, you know, it's great that we have all the info, but also I finished reading You Are the Placebo by Joe Dispenza once again. Thanks, Andrew, for the reminder, because I think I read it a few years ago. And I read it again recently, and, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, the power of belief, if you believe something can work or if you believe you can do something, it sounds cheesy, but it really has a big effect on what you're able to do. And in his book, he has so many literal studies that have been done.
Mm-hmm.
For example, morphine, right? When people thought that they were being injected with morphine, individuals were able to go through surgeries without actually, like, they literally injected them with a saline solution, cut into them, and the person released the endorphins necessary to not feel pain because they believed that they were on morphine.
Right.
And there's a bunch of other things. Like, Andrew, remember that study with the old people?
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. So that they brought just a group of elderly people. You know, they're in walkers, probably even wheelchairs. I don't remember all the details, but yeah. They were not very mobile.
And they weren't feeling good either. These people were coming in. They're like, I'm feeling sore. I have arthritis. Mm-hmm.
So they basically brought them into a different like living space. And then they were like, hey, we're going to pretend that you guys are back in your like 20s or something like that. Looking at the date, they actually put everything that was available to them back into that year. So whatever it was, like shitty TVs, if maybe, you know, the newspapers, everything, they're like, we're going to pretend that everything is 19, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Walkers started getting put away. They started playing like Frisbee and they started like running around and doing shit.
Running, bro.
In a short amount of time.
Yeah.
So they walked in or they couldn't walk in. And then as they left, they were like literally younger, like health markers showed that they had like aged in reverse and they didn't do anything, any like inject anything. They didn't do anything. All they just said was just pretend that you're 20 for the next like week or two.
Believe it.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. That's it. And there's so many other examples in that book that it got me thinking. I'm going to put the video out maybe tomorrow or the next day, but it got me thinking like there's like a mind virus in fitness that a lot of guys, you know, guys that are making natty or not videos, they're cool and they get views, but you're literally putting out this message that if you want to, or if you want to try to get this big, you can't. And the only way you can get this big is with steroids. Now, a young cat is going in and training and he's like, damn, the only way I can get that big is with steroids. They believe that. They internalize that. So they're training and they don't even believe they can get to the size that they want to get to because they're like, oh, they're all on steroids. And then sooner or later they get on because they believe they have to get on to achieve that size or whatever. And that's literally, that's part of your belief system. So if you already don't believe you can do something,
right. The
chances that your body, like you can literally, like from what I've been learning in this book, you can probably blunt certain things or blunt certain whatever to actually help you get there. Mm. I truly believe that. And so it sounds cheesy, but I'd say go get that book, guys, with You Are the Placebo by Dr. Joe Dispenza. Yeah. It's also fucking good, man.
It's also on Scribd, the service that I love because it's basically like Netflix for audiobooks. Uh-huh. You pay one fee and you get their entire library.
Yeah.
Not a sponsored ad whatsoever. I've just been using them for, I forgot how many years now.
Scribd is great.
But yeah, it's on there as well as a couple other books. But
there's also a Blinkist. You can
shorten it up.
It's a 10-minute book.
Yeah. I love Blinkist. But dude, their mind viruses with everything. Oh, when you get to 30, everything starts going downhill.
Right.
Or, you know.
I saw Lane Norton post, like he did a 650 deadlift the other day and he was pumped because he's like, I'm 40.
40, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people make a big deal about 40. But I was also thinking like people... So that's cool that he posted that so that more people are aware of like, hey, the best may still be yet to come, or you might still be able to hang in there with your former self from when you're younger. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of people have been doing a good job of dispelling that myth. And I think most people are more like, well, it seems like, not that we want to think that the wheels are going to fall off ever, but it does appear that a lot of things start to go when you're more like in your 50s and maybe even later than your 50s.
Fuck that, bro.
Like, no, yeah. No, yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. But, you know, like with like Stan Efferding and Dr. Sean Baker and some of these people. I mean, Sean Baker.
He's been going nuts lately, by the way. He's been deadlifting like a motherfucker and eating like 18 eggs and like 3 ribeyes for breakfast.
Yeah.
Sean Baker is probably, I think, like 55 or something like that, right? Yeah. I mean, or 54, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. Obviously, again, like people can point to genetics, but like the guy has a belief system that what he's doing is working. And who knows if what he's doing is actually like the most optimal thing to do, but because he believes in it. I mean, look at our boy Martin. Kind of just paralleling this a little bit, when he talked about running.
Yeah.
He grew up running. He was a sprinter, a really high-level sprinter. He was a sprinter for USC. Being on the USC track team or being on any of the sports that they have is, like, pretty fucking outrageous.
Yeah, man.
We asked him what he does for, like, fitness and working out, and he rattled off so much stuff. We couldn't even let him finish his sentence because he just
quick 5 miles. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Technically a marathon last week. Super easy.
Yeah, have you ever run 5 miles?
When I was younger for soccer and shit, but like
Andrew,
the most would have been like 2.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever run 5 miles before. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's a lot of people who've never even done that. And if he was just like, oh, you know, I you know, run, walk on the treadmill 20, 30 minutes a couple times a week, it's like, that's still a lot of work. That's still a lot of time. 90 minutes a week and you're getting in a couple miles. Like, that's pretty dope.
But he believes it's easy.
He believes it's easy. He grew up with it all the time. I grew up seeing, and Michael Hearn, same thing. I grew up seeing people with 6 plates on the bar, 7 plates on the bar. I grew up seeing people benching 4 and 5 plates for reps. I've seen, you know, women handling 100-pound dumbbells. It's just, I never even thought about it until I got a little older and started going to other gyms. And I'm like, why is that guy struggling with 40-pound dumbbell? That's weird. Maybe he's new. Maybe he's never lifted before or something. You know, then I started kind of recognizing how odd the place was that I was in. That was actually the problem. There's nothing wrong with somebody struggling with 40-pound dumbbells. It's just that I came from a gym where people were super obsessed with lifting. And even with the current situation that we have going on with the flu, the second leading cause of death is related to your belief of what's going on, you know, and that's not made up for me. That's like, I think that's from the CDC. Mm-hmm. You can refer to Sean Stevenson when he was on our podcast. He referenced, you know, where they have that publication and that information. So, man, your belief system, they talk about it when you get cancer. They talk about it. It's not easy.
He goes into that in the book too. Yeah. Like they literally categorize cancer patients, and they're like, they're the people that have the resilience. Like, I don't want to butcher it, but he goes into like belief systems of cancer patients and how that literally makes a difference if they survive. Like, a doctor be like, they're probably not going to make it. And a doctor will be like, looking at the way patients are responding to things and acting with things. He's like, they have a really good chance of making it just because of their belief and their resilience. It's not a fucking
which
joke.
Which can be really, really, really super difficult, especially if you're faced with a really just gut-wrenching disease that, you know, knocks a ton of body weight off you, takes your hair off your head, and just, I mean, it's cancer's.
Not trying to downplay it.
No, it's brutal. It's brutal. But I don't think it hurts at all to believe as best you can for as long as you can, as much as you can. And that's why a lot of times too, with some cancer survivors, they'll say, I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for so-and-so, you know, if it wasn't for my family, it wasn't for these people being around me. That's not to say that the other people, you know, don't have that still. Like sometimes it's just in the cards that it's your time, I believe.
Yeah.
But the power of belief is probably infinite, probably something that we'll never truly understand.
Yeah. I'm going through the book again, but I remember basically like, somebody who was diagnosed, they had, we'll say, 6 months to live, according to the doctor, but Christmas was 3 months away. And he promised his kids or whoever, I, again, don't remember, that like, this will be my last Christmas, but I'm going to make it to Christmas. He was fine the whole way. And then after Christmas, all his, like, everything went down and he died. Mm-hmm. And so, again, that's that power of belief. But
there were more stories in the book like that, too, where people were like, a doctor said, I think the doctor mentioned they lied to the patient because something happened. He was like, oh yeah, everything's actually looking good. You're doing great. And they were giving them a certain medication and the medication wasn't actually the right one. It was a placebo, but because the patient believed everything was good until the patient found out that they were being given a placebo. And then once they found out that it was a placebo, everything went downhill. Literally. It was like, oh shit, this isn't the medication that I need for this. And then all their tests started going worse, and then they died because they started not believing in what they were being given. Like, that shit is insane. Mm-hmm. But it's true that literally your belief can have an effect on your physiological functions. Mm-hmm. Now think about that when it comes to your fitness. If you don't believe that you can gain muscle, if you don't believe that you can lose this body fat, that could be doing something to your actions and your systems within your body, not just what you do, but your literal hormonal function. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, it sucks that you have to like start this whole conversation with, I know people think it's crazy, or I know it's like, woo, what, you know, whatever. But it's like, what's the detriment if you truly believe in whatever it is? There's no risk. The reward, you get through whatever it is, or you get in better shape, or you start making more money, everything. It's like, there's nothing wrong with it. Just try it.
I'm proudly naive to things. Like, honestly, like, because people, like, when I say I believe Mike is natural, or like, I think that person doesn't need to be on drugs, people are like, are you stupid? Or are you not? Like, honestly, I truly do believe that. And I think that's helping me.
Yeah, maybe I like being stupid.
Maybe I like being stupid. You know? Yeah. It's helping me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, again, with what you were saying, Mark, like kind of like ignorance is bliss. Like you didn't know that people couldn't squat 405 for reps easily.
Right.
Like, so then that's just what you believed in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I actually thought when I was lifting, I thought it was bad. You know, I thought like what I was doing like sucked.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't like, how come it's normal for everybody? I guess. And then I saw the work ethic behind it too, though. So it's, mm-hmm. so the belief system is great, but then you have to have your actions match up. And I think it's easier when you're, when you do believe in yourself, it's easier to go. Other people will see that. Like if I didn't, if somebody else created the slingshot and they just wanted just to only make money off it, but they weren't really sure how well it would do and mm-hmm. think, I don't, it probably, maybe it would just be something that somebody created. Because there were people that came out of the woodwork later on. They're like, I created this 5 years before you did. And they have like pictures and videos and stuff, but they never made it. And why didn't they make it? They didn't make it because they didn't believe in themselves. They didn't believe. There was some sort of hurdle that got in the way, because who wouldn't want to make money and have a prosperous business over just, you know, putting in some work to make it all happen? So the beliefs, I'm a huge proponent of a lot of that stuff. And I don't think it is good to have some perspective and to understand there are certain limitations to yourself that it might not be in your best interest from a time perspective and from a perspective of all the different shit that you're trying to do and be as a person for you to try to like invest a bunch of time into all of a sudden believing that you're going to be in the NBA. Like there are some things that sometimes are delusional, but could you dribble the ball better? Could you run faster? Could you be a lot better in the pickup games that you play? Like, I mean, there's still a lot of stuff that you can explore within that, that might not be your most ideal thing that you're chasing, but a belief in yourself is probably the most important virtue to have. And again, having a Martin, on our show, the founder of Cameo, he was saying that that's like the main thing he wants to leave for his children. There was nothing about money. There was nothing about, he did talk about opportunities. Like, hopefully I left them, leave behind some great opportunity for them. And he's like, and hopefully they really believe and have a lot of confidence in themselves. Like, I don't think there's anything else to say after that. When you're talking about raising children, like if your child, if that's, he gets nothing else from you except for that, like some love, some hugs, a kick in the ass here and there. Mm. And, but the main thing that he really picks up from you and learns from you is just that, he should be confident in himself. Fuck, man, you won.
Yeah. I can't wait to get him into, like super training when like on a big, like heavy training day. Cause after you said that, I'm like, yeah, this fucker, he's not going to understand what like less than 135 is. he's not going to know how to calculate quarters.
Yeah, man.
That'll be sick. But yeah, that's amazing.
Y'all want to, wrap this up and roll to another one?
Yeah, I think so. That'd be good.
Why, you got poop?
A little bit.
All that penis pump talk got you fired up.
Hey, y'all, why did Susan call it the Whopper? Is it really called the Whopper?
I don't know.
Because I looked on the website, I'm like, I don't see the
that
Whopper.
Might,
but
that might be her thing.
Our penis
it's
pumps,
off
guys.
Menu. Yeah. Off menu penis pump order.
Maybe.
Our penis pumps are called the Whopper.
The Flying Dutchman of penis pumps. Yeah.
We don't have a code for you guys or anything. But
it's at drjoelkaplan.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, because it's amazing. Reading her.
Who's Joel Kaplan? Who is this guy?
He's a doctor that she's been like.
We got to talk to this guy too.
Yeah.
I guess we will. Joel.
Go, Mr. Pump.
You're going to come on the cast and talk about some.
I just thought it was interesting that, like, when you put the, like, your dick and balls in the cylinder, like, it pulls everything, but, like, because we have more penis inside our body, like, it is going to pull that out even more.
Excuse me. Wait, you did the dick ball pump?
Dick ball pump.
Okay.
And then because, like, if you feel around.
Andrew, you're a savage.
Your shaft goes further than what you see on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
This will extract it out and pull that out more.
It sounds so invasive. It makes me uncomfortable.
All I'm saying is what Leo and Longevity said about the hanger, except you're not hanging something from your dick. You're just having the pump do all the work.
Yeah.
Hey. Can we just get a woman to do this too or not? Oh, never mind.
Well,
anyway.
That leads to... You're not supposed to release the blood flow after you pump.
Oh.
You got to keep it locked in.
You're also not supposed to come 2 hours before or after pumping. I don't know why, but
because the blood flow.
Because the blood flow.
Because after you bust, it's gonna take a nap, so it's all the blood's gonna get pushed away from the dick.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You want to chase the pump?
Chase the.
God damn.
Man, we are such meatheads, bro. I fucking love it.
You got to get a...
I love this shit.
Dude, this is crazy. You're like a fucking like self-induced boner that you're intentionally like working on, but you can't work
do
it
anything
out.
With it. And then you're supposed to massage in between each set.
So, so, man, you're out here, you're just pumping. 10 minutes goes by. All right.
And then you got to...
just massage. Put it back on.
I like that you used an oversized demonstration for that.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I'm just over here. I'm going to have to use some of my fucking forearm in there.
You're all like...
That's like our actor guest when he kept saying, it's just flying everywhere. Naked in the scene.
Brett Azar. He's just, okay, yeah, it was just, yeah, flopping everywhere.
He's looking fucking jacked, by the way. That Brett dude is yeah. insane right now.
Yeah, he looks great.
Oh, fuck, I'll put him up later. But yeah,
he's super jacked.
Iron Sheik.
Yeah, guys, mm-hmm. if you haven't, also, that's another podcast that you guys should check out. Brett Azar, because we talked about a lot. He played Arnold. Or Arnold's body double in one of the Terminator movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Super strong dude, but
talks
his
about
story,
his strong too.
And he talks about his apparently massive hog. But he's a really cool dude.
Look at this fucking guy, though.
Plays the Iron Sheik in what's the show? Young Rock.
Young Rock. Yeah.
Young Rock.
Fucking yeah. phenomenal.
Yeah, take us on out of here, Andrew.
All right, enough of that. All right, thank you everybody for checking out today's episode. Sincerely appreciate it. Please like. Comment, subscribe if you guys are not subscribed, and turn on all those damn notifications so that way you guys don't miss anything that we're putting out, because we're putting out a bunch of content, and we sincerely appreciate everybody that's been supporting thus far. Please follow the podcast at Mark Bell's Power Project on Instagram, at MB Power Project on TikTok and Twitter. My Instagram and Twitter's at I am Andrew Z. Nzima, where are you at?
At Nzima Yin Yang on Instagram and YouTube. At Nzima Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter. Mark.
At Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weak. This week is never strength. Catch you all later. Bye.